Before we finish out this hour, I want to talk a little bit about the artificial intelligence. And you were talking about the cognotech aspect of this. It's all related there. What does that entail? That sounds interesting.
Yes, and to kind of give the quick screen grab version, going back a number of years, maybe back to the days of Marvin Minsky and some of the original practitioners of the art form, back then there was an effort to write code, to program computers, to mimic a kind of a behavior that would appear to be intelligent. And I use those words kind of carefully. The whole idea was to create a conversant way of interacting with an entity that seemed like a living thing. So you could talk to it, and it would talk back, and it would give various answers that seemed like a person or whatever. Okay, it was a nice experiment. It was an interesting concept. But it wasn't really intelligence, per se. It was a way to model what appeared to be an intelligent response. But the machine itself was very stupid. All it did was mimic whatever it was told to do because you wrote a program to do this. That's very, very different than the current approach, and this is where the nanotech comes in, by the way, to mimic a living thing. And so in the world of what's called artificial life, and if you do a web search, you'll get lots and lots of material on this. In fact, there's a conference every year called A-Life, and I've spoken at a couple of them. But the basic idea is to utilize a new kind of computing architecture called reconfigurable computing. And again, I'm sorry for the buzzwords, but what it means is a computing platform that is soft. That is, it can be reconfigured on the fly. Instead of having to write a bunch of code that predetermines everything that the computer will do, the computer itself kind of can reorganize itself according to its surrounding stimuli. And so the process that makes that possible, or one of the processes, is something called evolutionary computing. So a subset of the artificial life world began to explore the mechanisms by which to make a living thing-like metaphor. And the reason that's important is the following. This is where intelligence really begins. Because rather than pre-coding all of the responses that the computer might do according to what it's interacting with, this creates something quite different. This creates kind of like a living system that will on its own begin to interpret its surroundings and react accordingly. So in the world of evolutionary computing and reconfigurable architectures, a bunch of folks began working on the concept of neural networks, which is a way to mimic what happens in the human brain, or any brain for that matter, but to use evolutionary computing as a way to create a self-evolving neural network, a kind of a living brain of sorts. And in fact, a very famous person by the name of Hugo de Garis, who's quite well known for being kind of a pioneer in this area, he was actually hired by NTT, Nippon Telephone and Telegraph, to create the world's largest artificial brain. This goes back several years. They were going to create a 10 billion neuron artificial brain that would self-evolve by the year 2007. Now, unfortunately, NTT has fallen into some hard times, and they've pulled the plug on a number of their research programs, this being one of them. But a bunch of other folks have proceeded henceforth. And the basic idea is this, that you might start with a system like this that's very dumb because it hasn't really learned anything yet, but its capacity to learn and to evolve and to continue to manifest its own sort of sense of intelligence and a potentially sense of self, that is exactly where this is going. Now, the reality is that in current day terms, the silicon chips that are designed to support this kind of process, the reconfigurable chips, they're called FPGAs, they're kind of expensive, and you need a lot of them to sort of make a robust version of this kind of intelligent system. However, if one goes to a nanotechnology-enabled solution where you can have a vastly higher density of the same kind of process in a much smaller space and also with much less cost, now all of a sudden you begin to create the infrastructure that allows for evolutionary computing and processes like it to create the artificial life that then becomes the mechanism by which the new kind of artificial intelligence, which truly is intelligent, becomes fostered.